New Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Wisely, this is November 23rd, 2019, and Immunize Wisely is hosted by Ingrid Castle, and today it's co-hosted with the previous show host Sally Elcordi. We decided that Joel Lord of the Vaccine Resistance Movement, he's from Canada, and he's had so much to share with his new book coming out. Sally was kind enough to give me a whole table of contents of all the chapters in this book, and we've barely scratched the surface. So I'm going to try to have Joel hopefully be a little more general with, instead of getting into some, you know, detailed science. In fact, from my perspective, you know, it's who's buying the science. I'm kind of a fan of James Corbett, and James Corbett has a great YouTube out on you know, just it's called Science for, it's not Science for Sale. That's the title of a book, actually. But anyway, it's basically, you know, just showing how whoever pays for the science can have whatever results they want. And there's very few people that have really nailed the real issues. I just watched Robert O. Young at the International Tribunal for Natural Justice or something like that. Anyway, he was amazing. He said pretty much everything I've said for a long time, but not, you know, he's a scientist that's been deep, and not that many people would get there because of, you know, there's too much brainwashing. There's very few people that'll get there, but we're not going to go there. We're going to have Joel Lord continue because he's done amazing research in his book, Keep Them From Harm. There's over 10 years of research into this book. He claims that there's 50,000 members of his organization, the vaccineresistancemovement.org, that are worldwide. There's a huge movement worldwide, which is why they are, you know, really pulling out all the stops to try to keep, get everyone vaccinated. There's literally a war on out there, and he doesn't pull any punches. You know, I mean, he says it like it is, you know, what he just, so we've really, the previous hour, anyone that wants to tune into the previous hour on the, Vaccine Free America, we just were skimming the problem with vaccines and the autism epidemic and problems with, you know, how it affects the auditory and the neurology, you know, just the whole, what they're actually doing, you know, and how it affects, you know, the vision and the auditory, and then now we're getting into measles. So you can continue if you want to. There was apparently Sally accidentally had herself muted, so she didn't close out.
Oh,
the
is that
hour.
What happened today?
And okay. That's what happened. She was on. She accidentally muted herself, and so you all of a sudden just got cut off by the commercial. So
yeah.
So Joel, welcome to this, the next 2 hours, and we're going to take callers. And Sally's still here, so she
Thank
will
you,
pop
Sally.
In with a question.
Hi there.
Hi, Sally. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe we should just kind of revisit this really important area, if we can, just quickly, just about what they're doing with these clinical trials and why the science is fraudulent, and how they can basically tweak the science to suit their agenda, right? The intended
exactly.
The intended
that's
sort of.
talk about that because that's James Corbett. I'm a huge fan of his, The Corbett Report.
Yeah.
And he probably
sure.
did one of the better ones. I mean, he didn't, it wasn't even just on vaccines, it was on science in general. And then we've, you know,
yeah.
before this hour, 2 hours was actually with Al Whitney. It was called Independence of Humanity. And she highlighted a book, Science for Sale, you know, by David Lewis. Anyway, you know, I mean, he worked for the CDC. He was probably the only, you know, and the EPA at times. You know, anyway, 30 years in government service, and he really nails it. You know how, you know, these big corporations are the ones buying the science, and they have a preconceived, you know, result that they want. So, you know, create the science to prove what we want it to say.
Well, they actually had, there were some employees out of Novartis that came out, and they were really brave whistleblowers about what was going on at Novartis, and they shed light on the extent of the corruption in marketing of vaccines, right? And they actually, what was the quote? They said one sales representative said he and his colleagues were, quote, they said, essentially buying scripts by providing healthcare providers across the country with perks, right, including paid speaking opportunities at events with little to no education content, right? So they're buying scripts, you know, and they walk into that doctor's office. It's a, well, you know, it's like selling cars. I mean, it's, you know, it's all about the money, right? I mean, these companies are, you know, the top four vaccine manufacturing companies, giants, are all nestled high up on the Fortune 500, right? So they're among the most powerful conglomerates in the world, right? So we're talking about a big money empire here that is like, you know, it's as strong as anything you might find in the oil industry, but also they have deep pockets and they have deep connections, right? This agenda is so well organized, which is why I think, you know, parents have to really understand the scope of this. I mean, you know, when you've got these, you know, these mandates being set up now, you know, these mandates are emerging everywhere. It's spreading like wildfire around the world now, right? These, you know, countries. Your country is falling to these, you know, and stripping away the exemptions. They're going like, you know, up here in Canada, you know, very similar, right? You know, this, you know, you've got the extremities of the country are being shut down, and then the middle of the country is being shut down, and then they're going to basically sew it up, right? And they're doing the same in the U.S., right? I mean, this is an orchestrated, you know, this is a full-scale attack on the people, right? I mean, you know, this is a well-coordinated attack, right? Now, when you look at what is behind the selling of these shots, right, it really is quite extraordinary. I mean, when I laid out in the book how vaccines are marketed, okay, and how they get to market in the first place, and it really is quite alarming. You know, they use these front groups called Sage and Gavi, right? The Gavi is the really important one, right? That's the Global Alliance of Vaccines and Immunization, right? So they're surrogates of the WHO, that the WHO hides behind, right? And they use this surrogate group of these handpicked doctors, and literally, I went through the lists of these doctors, 75 to 85% of the doctors on that list all have conflicts of interest, like major conflicts of interest. Mm-hmm. They're either invested in a vaccine manufacturer, they're either working for them, or they are promoting specific vaccines that are actually related to the vaccines that are on the table, right? So Gavi's totally corrupt, right? So they're this is a way that WHO is avoiding, like, the spotlight, right? And so, like, I call this, like, a global agenda,
I think
right?
We should advise most people. Wait. You know, not everyone knows what Gavi is. I think you should spell it out. We have so many acronyms, and people that are listening, they're not necessarily part of this movement, so they don't know. So go ahead and spell out what Gavi is. It's Global Alliance.
Global Alliance of Vaccines and Immunization out of the WHO. Okay. This group, this select group, right, is deeply connected to how these vaccines are being set up in the first place, right? So you've got, this agenda, right, which is supported by these, like, financial giants and very, very, we're talking, like, old money baron families, right? So, the WHO is, like, publicly neutral on that mandatory policy, and they can be, right, because they can basically hide behind this cloak, right? So, behind the scenes, this is the stuff that's going on, right? So Gavi, or the Global Alliance of Vaccines and Immunization, right, an alliance made up of, now this, so you've got a picture who's sitting at the table, okay? So you've got pharmaceutical companies that have their representatives there, okay? You've got the biotech technology companies that have their representatives there as well. You have the doctors from Gavi sitting at the table. You have the economic head of the World Bank also sitting at the table. You have the economic head of the IMF also sitting at the table. Right? You have top representatives from the Rockefeller Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation also sitting at the same round table, right? And then you have representatives of governments, right? And so if they're selling these cheap lunch bucket vaccines to Africa, India, or anywhere like that, right, you've got basically, you know, a representative from, say, the Congo or one of these countries, and they have no voice in this meeting. They're basically just, you know, told what to do, right? They're powerless to, you know, but my eyes lit up when I realized that, in fact, you've got the World Bank and the IMF sitting right there in the middle of it, okay? So the money that's being wielded here, we're talking about, you know, what does the IMF do, right? They basically, they loan out money, right? I mean, you know, this is a lot of this money is being dished out for these corrupt vaccines. You know, a lot of that money is going back into the pockets of these investors, right? So it's going back into the pockets of the Rockefellers and major tax write-offs for Bill and Melinda Gates and all these others, right? So it really kind of opened my eyes about what we're dealing with, and the level of corruption is really rampant, right? So.
Right. Well, it is. Well, to me, it always goes back to the money system, because the system itself is a debt-based money system. You have the power to create money out of thin air, and then you add debt to it, and the debt is never created, and so you keep people in constant bondage all over the world with this debt-based money system, and then you have then you have an agenda to maintain, and you can always keep your agenda maintained based on, you know, giving money to the people that are willing to follow through with your agenda.
Right. I think so. I would say vaccination is
pretty diabolical.
Another form of that.
It absolutely is. And, you know, people go, what are we going to do? Well, you've got to get to the root of the problem. It's we have an illustration. Have you ever seen an upas tree? They used to use these trees. It's supposed to be a poisonous tree, but they used these illustrations hundreds of years ago. They had the upas tree of slavery, and back in England, they had the upas, the vaccination upas tree, and the fruit of the tree. And we can always be chopping at the branches, but until you get to the root of any issue, and the root of all of our ails really is this fraudulent money system. Absolutely. Fiat currency.
Yeah. But if you look at what's happening to the ordinary family, right, in terms of what, you know, how we're being, how they're being corralled into this, you know, into these you know, mandatory vaccines, a lot of it, you know, it's a process of learned helplessness, right? Because they've entrusted all this knowledge to these, you know, doctors in white coats, and the doctors are not getting trained. Mm-hmm. They're not learning about synergy and, you know, the Rockefeller University model, right? I mean, if you mm-hmm. look at immunology, for instance, okay, what is that? What do they learn about immunology in the Rockefeller University system, right? And I can tell you from like eyewitness reports of like an immunologist, a top immunologist who went through that, who spoke about this, Tatiana Bukanich, right? She talked about that in fact when they learn about immunology, they learn about the immunological benefits of vaccination. They don't learn about the immune system. So you're basically you're training essentially. Your doctors are just trained vaccine salesmen. By the time they become they become professionals, they're just vaccine salesmen. That's all they are, right? They don't understand.
Yeah. It even goes beyond that. You know, Suzanne Humphrey's book, Rising from the Dead, she goes in, they're sleep deprived. So it's a form of mind control because they stress them out so much with it. They are cramming so much knowledge, and it's not knowledge, it's memorization. So they're really just regurgitating all of this stuff from like a memory. They're not taught critical thinking skills. And so when doctors out in the field, they realize how little knowledge they really have, that it was just all this stuff jammed down their throat, and they don't have the practical application. And thankfully for independent doctors, that's what, you know, comprises a lot of the people in our movement. They were highly intelligent, and they decided, you know what, I'm going to have to get a real education on my own now. You know, that's right. Otherwise, we wouldn't have much of a movement of doctors in our movement if it weren't for those that realize that they were sold a bill of goods and had to start, you know, doing their own independent research because they still had critical thinking skills left after all of that mind control. Because it is a form of mind control when you do sleep deprivation like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's so, you know, it's reprehensible that doctors are just slapping that you know, sudden if and death syndrome label on these babies that die inadvertently, you know, crib death or whatever, right? And you know, I've got all these reports in the book where I spent countless hours going through vaccine adverse event recording system files, right? I looked at hundreds of files, and I found just this constant, you know, ringing tone of just, you know, this thing they didn't understand, you know, they slapped the label on it, and they said cause of death unknown. They said cause of death unknown, SIDS or whatever, right? But in every single case, you literally had you had a baby that had died within a day, within what, in some cases, like 14 hours of getting a shot, and they do. There's absolutely no reference to the thing, right? To the injection, and you think, you talk about cognitive dissonance. I mean, that is cognitive dissonance at its best, at its finest, right? For a doctor who's supposed to be, you know, protecting their patients beyond anything, right? I mean, that's the absolute, you know, truth of it, and the heart of the matter is protecting the innocent, right? If they can't look at that objectively and understand that what they're doing, that, you know, is leading to this, or at least, you know, perhaps if they could only begin, you know, I think the stages of awareness for a doctor come with I think the realization that they perhaps they don't know enough, and then maybe the next stage is simply starting that education process. I mean, there are doctors now who are you know, reading an hour a day, trying to get, you know, more and more understanding of what's going on.
Okay,
they're
Joel,
simply pulling the books
we're
out.
Coming up on a commercial break. We're going to go right into some of the chapters in your book after this, but I wanted to just warn you that the commercial break is like now, and you're stay tuned. You're listening to Immunize Wisely with Joel Lord.
The reviews for Xtendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Xtendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Xtendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Xtendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Xtendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
To Immunize Wisely, and Joel, we're just going to get right into your book, Keep Them From Harm. You know, we've talked about it a little bit, but you have some chapters that really intrigued me, of course, like weaponized measles. Certainly that's what is driving this whole thing in country, certainly in Canada. There's this huge thing when the only measles vaccine there is MMR, which is controlled by one pharmaceutical company, namely Merck Pharmaceuticals, who is a subject of a lot of lawsuits. So I wanted to just jump right in there with, you know, weaponizing measles, and what you meant by that as a title for a chapter.
Well, let's dive right in, because it is it's alarming. It's alarming. So the the composition of the original measles vaccine consisted of human amnion cells. Now, that is essentially ground placental membrane. And embryonated hen's eggs exposed to the live measles virus. So the measles virus underwent, quote, 24 passages in human kidney cells, replicated effectively in these human amnion cell cultures, producing an identifiable cytopathic effects. Okay, so then the cells were integrated with porcine. Porcine-derived gelatin in the MMR has been linked to anaphylaxis in all these kids. Okay. This from the WHO, right? They say case reports have shown that about one half of individuals experiencing anaphylactic reactions, and that means severe allergic reactions, okay, following MMR vaccine, had IgE antibodies to gelatin, a stabilizer used in vaccine production. Now, the two variants of aborted human fetal tissue, and those are Y38 and MRC5, were incorporated in childhood vaccines. Both contain, in this case, they contain an accelerant growth medium, right, consisting of 10% fetal bovine serum, combined with neomycin, which is a toxic antibiotic in these shots, right, and a proprietary synthetic cell culture known as minimum essential medium eagle. So that minimum essential medium eagle is this this cell culture that all that stuff kind of like was mixed into this soup, right? So you have to think about this as like a witch's brew, okay? So this appalling procedure, right, injecting the remains of a sacrificed cow and a human fetus into healthy children raises ethical questions, obviously, right? But so fetal bovine serum itself comes from the blood drawn from a bovine fetus via a closed system of collection at a slaughterhouse. So it stands to reason, right, that the synthetic cell culture MEM, being added to introduced to an immature immune system in a child, right, and of course MMR in the U.S., I think first shot is given at 12 months old and then at 15 months, right? So that counteracts the natural immune system immediately, right? Cross-contaminating children.
It's one or the other. It's a spread between 12 months and 15 months. That's just
between
one.
Between 12
and 15.
And then there's a second dose later, yeah. Right? So this constitutes a disruption of the normal life cycle, right? And it might... I believe it definitely explains the dramatic increase in autism and early childhood cancer seen in children, right? So it's also been verified through independent laboratory testing that the fetal bovine serum component used in the MMR shot is inevitably cross-contaminated with the commercial feed herbicide glyphosate, which is obviously the standard component in Monsanto's weed killer Roundup. So, because of course you've got the fetal, you've got your cows, eating this feed that is sprayed with Roundup. The feed gets into them, and they're obviously transferring it, right? So,
Joel.
Yeah.
The gelatin is from porcine. That's pork. So this is the whole other religious reason for vaccines. It's the pork, because the gelatin from the pigs that are being forced. We talked about this actually last week on Sally's show.
Right.
It's amazing. I was so glad Roxy knew about this and the other gal, Barbara, because in Iowa, you may not know this, but our Department of Agriculture has offered free corn to all the hog farmers there. So that's why pork was so cheap. And anyone that was trying to not have, GMO-fed corn, they had to go all organic because they couldn't afford to compete. You can't compete with free. Well, pigs are very smart. They will not eat this GMO corn unless they're literally starved onto it. So it sickens them. They're not able to reproduce. That is where the gelatin is coming from. So it's not just glyphosate. We're talking about all the other ingredients, because Roundup, glyphosate won't cause cell death. It's the other stuff in there, the dioxin, the lead, the arsenic, very high levels of arsenic. So we're talking about the glyphosate and all that other stuff going into their bones, because that's where these metals and crap, you know, because we can say glyphosate, but generally when you're starved onto something and you're nutrient deficient, metals will replace minerals and settle in the bones. And this is where the gelatin is coming from. And that's why it's so toxic. So I just wanted to clarify that. Sorry about that. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, in terms of obviously, you know, religious objection to the shots on you know, not only the aborted, you know, human fetal tissue, but you're also dealing with objections to, you know, the use of pigs in the shot. Very true. I mean, that's a great point, right? You know, adding to it all. What's extraordinary, though, that blew my mind was this connection to, so they've been using albumin. They were getting albumin from human blood supply, which is used as a stabilizer in the MMR shot, okay? They've been using that since the beginning. Now, they had massive problems with contaminated blood, right, getting into the measles shot through the albumin, right, that they were using in the shots. So what they did was they decided, like everything else in the vaccine industry, you know, if you can't go natural, go synthetic. So basically, the synthetics are everywhere in the shots now, everywhere. Everything's synthetic, right? The MMR contains spiked milk residue from transgenic cloned cows. They have a herd, of cows whose purpose it is, selectively, very specifically, to lactate. They lactate milk that is contains this human serum albumin, this recycled human serum albumin, right? So it is extraordinary that they've done this. But of course, this is like the peanut oil allergies in kids, right? But now you're looking at this is obviously directly linked to lactose intolerance, right? I would say. I think it's pretty obvious, right? When you're dealing with transgenic clone cows, you know, it's just mind-boggling, right? The quote, so in recent years, in an effort to provide an abundant source of recombinant albumin, a herd of transgenic cows expressing high levels of RHA in their milk was generated. And the quote from the industry, they said, transgenes linking human albumin DNA sequences to the regulatory sequence of milk-specific genes was first tested in transgenic mice, right, which contained goat beta casein. So they started in mice, right, crossed with goat, right, and then they moved to this. Yeah, it's incredible. They started with mice, they moved to goats.
It's so diabolical.
Isn't it, though? And then you want to go even deeper. I actually, based on my research, I've determined that the MMR vaccine is actually laced with the contaminated material from two aborted fetuses, not just one. Okay? So in the form of the... And So the rubella virus, right, was nurtured on this template of this infected human kidney, right, from a baby that was combined with the intrauterine infected lung tissue from Y38, right?
Yes.
But they also said they had multiple. They said they had a whole bunch of different, you know, different fetuses that they were experimenting with leading up to this final selection. But there's nothing in the literature to suggest that the earlier research was simply thrown away. You know, I actually think it was combined, right?
Joel, a part of me feels like we're having this inside conversation, because there's terms when you say Y38, I think it, you know, sometimes you need to, you know, like we need to dumb down our conversation for a more average sure. audience, because people go, oh yeah. my God, this is 2010. So you're referring to WI-38 that is actually from a female, isn't the, that's the one from a female aborted
Correct.
Fetus. So you're getting, and then the, there's a MRC.
1961. Yeah.
Right. And so this is, and they've replicated it over and over and over again. And the, with each replication of this human derived cell line, it becomes more weak and cancer forming, carcinogenic, they say, with
yeah.
each passing. And then they have
Correct.
To get new stuff. But those are the most common ones they've used, are these two, and one's from a male and one's from a female. And so this gender bending stuff there, you know, I don't know if you even discussed that stuff, but it's so out there now, the gender bending stuff, because of
right.
the increase in the use of these cell lines. And so, you know, right. girls are getting male genetic material, and, you know, but so when you would say Y38, it's WI-38 is what is
right.
generally known as an right. So I just try if
which
you're,
was
when
the,
you're
which
talking
was
to
the
an
38, kind of, yeah, the 38th selected fetus that they used. It was the 38th of a group of 38, right? That was the it was the 38th selection, right? That they chose to use.
Was it? And I think it was in Wisconsin or something, or there was some, there's a WI, there's some reason for WI, I forget what it was.
That's possible, yeah, that's where it originated. But that one was infected with the intrauterine infection, right? So that was the particular spin on that fetus, you know. And they found it was the most effective way to grow these viruses, right? To replicate, you know, the viruses, you know, so if you put it all together, right? I mean, you know, I actually say the current, like the MMR in its current form, these kids are being subjected to a potent mixture of cloned mouse, goat, cow, chicken plasma protein, and pig, hen, chick spiked enzymes, interacting with fragmented, reconstituted human lung and kidney tissue from two aborted fetuses. That's what we're dealing with. That's the MMR.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You've yeah. got children with autism, right? Many children with autism are coming down with this mutagenic, atypical measles viral strain, right, in their gut. And that's... and that's really important, right? There's a, what's the quote? Measles virus in gut of 96% of autistic children compared to 6.6% of normal children, okay? So, and that's the big, you know, the big take-home question is how did it get there, right? How did it get there? And that's, you know,
right, exactly.
24 of 25 children were positive for measles virus, right? And that's the big burning question, right? I mean, Dr. John O'Leary asked that, you know, he said, what is measles virus doing in lymphoid germinal centers in children with autistic enterocolitis? Very good question. What is it doing there, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you know,
you have to wonder why any of this stuff, you know, I keep saying when they say safer vaccines, okay, what is your suggestion? How would they be made safe? And furthermore, why even do vaccines when there's other more, you know, not even safe, it's, you know, altruistic ways of dealing with
yeah.
health and disease, you know? I mean, it's just
yeah.
being out of balance. I mean, the whole thing is just yeah. such a level of insanity to me that anyone buys into this
mm-hmm.
crock is
yeah.
really,
the work they're
too
doing
much.
On
and
that,
the more
the,
you research, see, Joe, you've already gone there. You went through all of this research and you're like, you've,
yeah.
God, you must have gotten to a place is that this is just absolutely insanity. I am putting out one insane chapter after another. Every time I research
yeah.
more, it's more insane, right?
Yes, it's completely insane. I mean, you've got, you know, they're developing this universal flu vaccine now, right? And they're talking about in the trials, they're saying we have to basically wipe out natural immunity in order for unnatural immunity to thrive. from the shot, right? So in order to get the benefits of a universal flu vaccine, we have to negate natural immunity. We cannot, the body,
that's so important that you have that number 30 in your chapter, natural versus herd immunity. That is really important chapter, because they're trying to say that people that have had the disease itself, the natural disease makes them weaker, and that vaccines are making them healthier. They're trying to flip everything on its head. Right now, there was just this, I don't know if you saw it, but there's an article in a Science Digest online. It was like, what? And of course, you know, written by everyone in the industry, you know. But go ahead and tell us what you, in your chapter. That would be great on that.
It's obviously just, in terms of what we're talking about, it's the reverse, right? We know that that measles and chickenpox are obviously giving, if you acquire it naturally. I mean, one of the things I talk about in that chapter is how how the industry is trying to thwart natural immunity, right? And in this relentless pursuit for 95% herd immunity, right, which is an impossible goal, right? It's never going to work. Herd immunity is a fallacy, right? But the fact that they're trying to derail all the progress of natural immunity in terms of where we've come as a species. I mean, one of the things about these viruses that I believe we're seeing in nature now is that the viruses as they once were no longer exist anymore. So the sort of prototypical kind of wild virus that once thrived is no longer here, right? It's no longer it no longer exists, right? Viruses have become chimera viruses, right? Because of essentially relentless recycling. I mean, they've been chemically synthesizing. They chemically synthesized the polio virus in 2002 in a laboratory, right? Mm-hmm. So you've now got chemically synthesized polio in the environment. You've got synthetic hepatitis floating around the gene pool. You've got these chimera viruses everywhere in the environment, right? Every single vaccinated MMR vaccinated child out there who becomes a teenager and a young adult, they're harboring MMR for a lifetime, right? Lifetime viral infections. They're not, the American Journal of Medical Sciences said in 81, they said today, the syndrome, they call it, which is like atypical measles, right? They said this syndrome occurs predominantly in adolescents and young adults. So, natural immunity has been derailed by these shots, and it's a catastrophe, right, in terms of where we're going. I say we are not at war with nature, right? Natural immunity is the bedrock of a healthy life. Embracing natural exposure to contagions, especially measles and chickenpox, is a necessary early rite of passage, which provides the body with an RNA-DNA template of the virus. And the recuperation process ensures lifelong resistance to a catalog of viruses, right? But beyond it, you've got the ability to knock down, stave off cancer down the road. I mean, which is being negated in all these vaccinated children, right? They're not going to get the benefits of that, right? And they're going to lose out on all those things that we are not, that the body we were intended to have, right? So, I talk a lot about how we've been, really socially engineered, right, by this technocracy, and we've believed believed all these lies being put forth by, like, Western allopathic medicine, you know, supporting vaccination as a practice. You know, and they're committed to this, like, this antiquated model, and they just won't stop, right? I mean, you know, I think vaccine science is it's a mistaken ideology, right? And it's built on, like, this combative approach, which is counter to the fundamental laws of nature, right? I look a lot in that chapter on, like, what our ancestors did, what our ancestors knew, and how... Right, and how before they were herded into these, you know, urban centers, you know, they knew how to stave off all these, you know, infections. They carried, you know, they carried a library of herbs and tinctures, and you know, they had all this stuff, you know, at their disposal. They had, you know, they were the ultimate doctors. I mean, they knew what was you know, they understood nature, and they had a symbiotic, you know, relationship with nature, much like the Amish, right? I mean, look at the Amish.
Even, I mean, they're perfect. I have to say that I love what Pamela Gary has said at Sally Alcorti's event. She's a friend of ours who's a colon therapist, but she did a lot of research. She found out, you know, years ago, way before... You know, they had electricity and running water. The people dewormed themselves along with their animals twice a year. And we have so many problems with people having parasites. I mean, you hear about it all the time. Oh, gosh, I'm loaded with parasites, or I have yeast or all this kind of stuff. I mean, you know, who would have ever thought that? When did that ever disappear? You know, and I remember, you know, as a kid, my mom gave me a thing called Castoria, and it was from the drugstore, and it was a gentle laxative in liquid form, and it wasn't, you know, filled with tons of sugar, and that's, you know, so they knew one of the first things to do when someone gets sick is clean out your gut, get rid of all that crap accumulating in your colon, and you know, where's that knowledge? I mean, that's just basic.
It's basic knowledge, but unfortunately you've got an industry. I mean, you've got, you know, the FDA has absolutely no, you know, no conscience, and they're, you know, they're striking down these doctors who are doing tremendous work, right, trying to help families, and have been, you know, they have you know, ended the careers of some of these doctors, right? So we're fighting an uphill battle, trying to get the education out there. I mean, if you're not looking for it, you're not going to find it, right? So I think a lot of cases, parents just need to, you know, need to keep, you know, sharing, you know, you got to go back to the elders and talk to the, you know, the elders knew, you know, everything we needed to know. And there was a lot that, so there's a lot that's been, you know, that we've been missing that, you know, I'm trying to really, you know, bring justice to these people whose voices have been silenced, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look back at, there's always been a whistleblower out there, you know, in our country, the FDA we had Bernice Eddy and Anthony Morris. And then later on, there was a guy, Arthur, I'm trying to remember his name, probably. But I mean, you know, they all ended up being canned, fired, minimized, you know, funds for their research pulled, you know, it's like Bernice Eddy and, you know, just... You know, it's always amazing, and this stuff tends to repeat itself. Yeah, I just got Marge Grant's book, a whole bunch of them, A Stolen Life, that I'm going to be putting online for sale. That's, you know, that's an amazing book, just because it documents, Joel, just when the vaccine movement really started in earnest, and it was, I mean... You know, after the polio thing, it was basically in the 60s and 70s. And a lot of people don't know that history. Because, you know, we've always been marginalized, you know, due to the control of the media. And, you know, anyone that gets, you know, like Leah Thompson got her documentary out there and was promptly fired for it, you know, the DP2 vaccine roulette. So this has been going on for a long time. In fact, my friend Jim O'Kelly revived the anti-vaccination movement of America, and that was going at the turn of the century over smallpox.
Yeah.
And some of the
vaccines. Yeah.
So, I mean, this has been going on since forever. It's just accelerated really due to the parents of vaccine-damaged kids. And so when they call them anti-vaxxers, they're like, how can you call me anti-vaxxers? No, I woke up after my kids were damaged. I was pro-vaccine and found out the hard way. They're ex-vaxxers,
exactly.
They say.
Well, that's actually really interesting, that period you're talking about, you know, in terms of you know, DPT. And, I mean, I looked at, you know, a lot of these different connections with, you know, the main problem with that, we're talking about diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis vaccine, right? So the one that was originally brought out, you know, had this notorious problem with the endotoxins in the shot, right? But we got some music coming in.
Okay, hold on. We're coming up on a break, and then after that, there's 4 minutes. So stay tuned. You're listening to Joel Lord on Immunize Wisely.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Thank you.
Okay. Welcome back to Immunize Wisely. Okay, we are in the last stretch of the first hour. So I want to just tell everyone that it is during the bottom of the second hour that we'll probably take callers. And I did, you know, order Joel's book. It's at keepthemfromharm.com, where you can order your own. I'm hoping I get mine soon enough. I want to review it and consider being the USA distributor, if that would be a possibility anyway, because, you know, with the postal rates, the postal rates are pretty steep, you know, going from country to country.
We've got a good deal
I mean, you need to just, you know, that's what we've always done, is usually have a distributor in each country so that, you know, you're not paying those exorbitant shipping rates going across the border. But anyway, we covered a little bit about, natural versus herd immunity. And you have, certainly, I deal with cancer a lot, identifying the cancer. In fact, that's one of your chapters. I mean, we literally have a cancer epidemic, and yes, I know a lot of cofactors, but generally you don't find cancer among people that are unvaccinated, even with all the cofactors. But most people that aren't vaccinated are also very conscious of their health. Although I do know people that have gotten cancer just not being paying attention, and they're completely unvaccinated. So, but you know, it definitely gives you a propensity for getting cancer. Do you want to go ahead and talk about that some?
Well, it's to me the cancer is really the byproduct of the roots of it. Obviously, are connected to, I think, the introduction of thimerosal in the early 30s, this horrendous diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis vaccine in the late 40s, right, and the introduction of simian virus 40 into the worldwide gene pool. That was the SV40 was the trigger and the launch point, I think, for all of that, right? And don't get me wrong, it was exacerbated by obviously I have a lot of work in the book on the use of antibiotics and how they're wiping out natural antibiotic resistance in the body, right? But this is a full scale assault on the immune system. The end result is basically
breaking. Why don't you just clarify, simian virus 40 is from what vaccine? Go ahead. Just clarify some of these things.
Well, the polio vaccine in particular. It was the roots of it. They had begun using this diseased African monkey kidney tissue. Originally, it was rhesus monkey kidney tissue, which was infected with this, with this virus that was basically was something that the African population or the monkey population had acclimatized itself to, had adapted to, but obviously it had these disastrous effects on the human body and the human gene expression, right? So. There's so much that they've been doing that has caused, just triplicates of problems, right? I mean, you've got SV40 actually overlapping into MMR because the first measles vaccine was developed using monkey kidney cells, right? So it was already there. It was there in that. So it's spilled into causing defective genes in the body in children. My whole argument on SV40 is that in fact, what we're talking about, here it is, the killed measles virus vaccine used, and that was Pfizer's VaxMeaseK, used an aluminum precipitated formaldehyde inactivated concentrated monkey kidney tissue culture grown virus. Okay, so it had aluminum in it, it had formaldehyde in it, and it had this monkey kidney tissue. My argument is that the that they never got rid of SV40. They never got rid of it. Okay, they claimed that that simian virus was eradicated from, you know, polio vaccine, from all laboratory use of monkey